Hello, and welcome to DevOps Voices, for thought-provoking and best-in-class DevOps conversations brought to you by DASA, the DevOps Agile Skills Association. Explore a countless number of videos, white papers, and webinars on the best practices for DevOps journeys, and learn the essence of developing high-performing DevOps teams at DASA's website. Visit devopsagileskills.org. And now, your host, Dimitri Vandenbroek.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to today's DevOps Voices. Today, we are joined by Daniel Preston. Daniel, welcome.
Thank you very much, Dimitri, for having me.
Fantastic. So Daniel has over 40 years of experience in international technology management and consulting. And he's a mentor, a coach, speaker, ghostwriter, and also an active member of the DASA Global Influencer Team. Daniel, in his career, worked in many different environments and also brings in a lot of experience. I can seriously say that he applied many of the well-known frameworks and knows the ins and outs of them. If you ask him about the core of his work, he'll probably say that he's only helping managers to do things better, faster, safer, and I think with more satisfaction. Interesting thing for me is that Daniel has an eye and ear for new trends, and also build on the experience seeing many trends come and go. And in this episode, we're going to talk about leadership. We're going to explore what leaders need to know when developing a DevOps culture. We're going to discuss how leadership, as one of the 12 components in the DASA competence model, is connected with the 11 other skills and knowledge areas. And we're trying to get an answer on why great leaders have strong coaching skills. So it was a serious introduction. Daniel, thanks again for joining us on today's podcast. And to start the session, can you tell us a little bit about yourself and the work that you've been recently doing?
Thank you, Dimitri. In 2004, I became a coaching consultant. I'd been in leadership roles for a variety of organizations since the early 1970s, mm-hmm. and decided I was going to take my experience and help others do things with technology in a better, faster, safer way. Right. I saw that leaders were having challenges. I've had all kinds of problems. You have poor perception of IT from your stakeholders and your customers. You have teams that are overburdened and stressed. You have teams that don't understand why they're being asked to do things, mm-hmm. just being told to do it. Mm-hmm. You have budgets that are being cut and your resource being cut, but your workload isn't being cut. In fact, it's being added to. And your vendors are no longer partners. They're just trying to do everything they can to stay alive themselves. And in this role of the pandemic, where you used to have all your people around you on a daily basis, even if you had multiple locations, you could go visit them easily or, you know, create a team talk where they were all in the same room. Now they're just all at home. The backgrounds that you see are either, you know, some background that they went and got, or the background of their office or bedroom or wherever they are. Yeah. And this is causing a lot of issues. So I've decided that what I wanted to do would be to help people discuss these and facilitate and coach them rather than consult them into how to overcome their challenges. Right. Okay. And it's been a worthwhile experience because mm-hmm. you have leaders that are going, you're not going to tell me what to do. I'm a leader. I'm a manager. But you have ideas that maybe I haven't considered. Mm-hmm. So help me figure out how to have better mm-hmm. conversations. Help me figure out how to ask better questions, which is really great because that's exactly what we're learning and what we're, experiencing in the DevOps, in the DASA courses, and in the DASA competency model is how do you, you know, get the courage to do what you need to do at times when stuff happens.
And is there a common theme or common themes? I mean, that leaders come to you, which you typically address. I mean, in these times, in the last 6 months, is there?
I'm stuck.
Yeah.
I've tried this. I've tried that. Mm-hmm. I've looked at ITIL. I've looked at IT service management. I've looked at Agile. I've looked at the 42 different flavors of Agile. I've looked at DevOps. I've tried to go to cloud. I've tried to go to digital. And it's like the operation was a success, but the patient died.
Right, yeah. But that's okay. Not something new, or is it? I mean, that's also
it's not anything. It's not anything new. But from their perspective, they're frustrated.
Yeah,
I guess. And from their stakeholders' perspective, they're frustrated.
Yeah.
And nowadays, when your customers are all internet connected, the difference between you being in business and you being out of business is a couple of mouse clicks.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
And that's a problem. You as a leader in technology need to be able to help your organization change the way that it does things,
yeah,
and change the way that it attracts and retains customers and staff.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you're gone. You're toast. Mm-hmm.
Very interesting. A final question on this topic before we move to leadership. I mean, the core thing of today's conversation. I mean, how does the engagement in these coaching assignments work? I mean, with them, how does it, half an hour every week? I mean, just trying to figure out.
It depends on the customers. They don't want me to live there. I'm a coach. They have a day job.
Yeah.
If it wasn't in the pandemic occurring, mm-hmm, I would probably be with them more in body, but mm-hmm, I would still be a silent in the background.
Yeah.
Now what we do is they might invite me to a virtual meeting.
Yeah.
We might use a Miro board or a mural board, yeah, you know, to do some post-it note stuff or to create a Canvas diagram. We'll have workshop sessions. One of the people that you and I know and have known for many years, you know, Paul Wilkinson, has some great simulation games, yeah, from Gaming Works. You know, we might use them to get, yeah, people to learn. So there's a variety of ways over the internet that we're helping organizations. I'm helping organizations, and it ranges from, you know, no more than 2 times a week, because I think that's enough.
Yeah.
You know, to 2 to 3 sessions a month. And it encourages not only them to attend, but their teams to attend and their stakeholders to attend.
Yeah.
Because it has to be a language change across the organization to make a difference.
Yeah. So I have many more questions on this topic, how you get into an organization, but let's park it for now. So let's try to talk a little bit about the leadership. And a question I have is, what do you see as outstanding DevOps leadership? And if you look at kind of attributes and skills needed to be good at it, and can you share your perspective on, you know, what do you consider strong leadership in the DevOps world?
So I have a business degree.
Mm-hmm.
I actually have 2 business degrees, and they both taught me everything I needed to know about command and control.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, okay. I have the answer.
Yeah.
You work for me.
Yeah.
You have a question. I have the answer. Any questions on that? And that's the way and the language and the behavior that you exhibit, yeah, right? You set the rules, you set the guardrails, you set the opportunity, you give them a bonus. So now they know how to game their situation.
Now they're incentivized.
Right? You know how to incentivize. Yeah. if you have developers underneath you and you give them a bonus for innovation, and you have operations underneath you and you give them a bonus for CAB meetings, yeah. You know, prepare for a roadblock.
Yeah.
DevOps came along. Yeah. Actually, any of the frameworks came along, but yeah. DevOps really pushed the issue mm-hmm. of not calling themselves a framework, but asking leaders to go get a grip. What can you do to help people change the way that they work by changing the way that you work?
Right.
In which case then, the leader has to have the courage to acknowledge, I'm the problem.
Yeah.
I'm part of the problem.
Yeah.
My leadership is part of the problem.
Yeah.
I can't reduce the budget, fire 30% of my IT staff, and ask them to do everything that 30% was doing. And oh, by the way, can you go to cloud this afternoon and digital by tomorrow? That's just not reasonable anymore. Mm-hmm. You have to learn a different way of facilitating individuals. You have to learn a different way of coaching. I mean, thank you very much for sharing the Harvard Business Review article that was great on coaching.
Fantastic.
You know,
yes.
I think we've both posted it in LinkedIn. Yeah. We should probably add it here, but yeah. You know, it really mentions the fact of, you know, you have to get a grip. You have to realize what reality is and help your organization see it.
Yeah.
And then work through the options, really work through the options, try to figure out what's important and what's not important.
Yeah. And why do we have to unlearn command and control style? I mean, if it has worked, you know, for so many years. I mean,
command and control is great if you want to have an inside out view. Yeah. But yeah. Your customers are on the internet now. They are outside coming to you. And if they don't like what they see, in two mouse clicks, they go someplace else.
Right.
And they won't come back.
Yeah.
Right? They won't come back. You do not go back to websites that do not please you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So you have to change the way that you think. You have to look at everything from the customer's mm-hmm. perspective,
yeah.
Which means that you as a leader have to do, in technology, people are terrible at this, right?
Yeah.
You have to learn how to collaborate with a customer.
Yeah.
Or at least learn how to collaborate with the people that are collaborating with customers. Yeah. And that's a completely different conversation set. That's yeah. a completely different language set. It's interesting. If you go to a leader and say, you know, I get a phone call that says we want to do agile. I said, okay, so what you're telling me is that you want to do this thing that was created by a bunch of developers at a ski lodge in 2000 over 2 days.
Yeah.
No, I want to do agile.
Yeah.
Okay, you need to learn what it is that you're asking. You can't just say, I'm going to have them do it. I need to be agile as they are.
Yep.
Okay. DevOps. I want to do DevOps. Okay. You want to do something that a developer and an operations person at the end of a conference continued the discussion in Twitter. The ops guy ran out of characters, did hashtag DevOps, and the world changed.
Yeah.
No, I want to do DevOps. Yep. Really? What is DevOps to you? You see, that's the problem. Mm-hmm. We as leaders, we need to learn what it is mm-hmm. that we're asking. In command and control, you just tell people, go do this.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter if you know it.
No.
In the new way, you have to be not as technical as they are. I lost my technical skills.
Yeah.
Decades ago. Okay. But I at least have to keep up.
Yeah.
And I have to be aware. And I have to understand that when I ask my people to go and do something, I need to be the role model. I mean, that's what that HBR article said, right? That's the Harvard amazing. Business Review article. You have yeah. to role model mm-hmm. what it is that you're asking. And command and control people don't do that.
Yeah. But can we put coaches theoretically in the position of the leaders, or is the only way forward, like what the HBR article is suggesting, every leader should be a coach. They should have essential coaching skills as part of their skill set.
So, you know, one of the great things we all agree on with the DAVA DevOps coach course is rule number one is I need to become obsolete. Nobody wants to pay me forever. And I actually don't want to be paid by this organization forever, because at some period in time, I'm going to say, you know what? I ought to be in your shoes. And that's a bad place for a coach. Right? You want to help people. You want to work with people and help them become the coach, to their team, to build that trust that allows everyone in the organization to use technology in better, faster, safer ways and gain and be happy. How do you coach people? A DevOps engineer came over to me and he said, I'm a DevOps engineer. And I rolled my eyes and I went, okay, what does that mean? He said, it means that from 8 o'clock in the morning until 5 o'clock in the evening, I help my organization be a news site in the best way that I possibly can, so that they can service the people that use that news site in the best way that they possibly can. That's a DevOps engineer. He didn't mention containers. He didn't mention anything, right? I went, who do you work for? When he told me, he went, you know, it's Microsoft. I said, okay, I understand now. Right? They have the mentality of helping people say, from the customer's perspective, what is your job?
Right. What would happen, Daniel? I mean, if we would replace the leaders for DevOps coaches or coaches in general, would the organization still come a long way, or what would we miss? You know, it touches on the difference between leaders and coaching, but I mean, just...
Well, a leader has to be a coach.
Sure.
If a leader today is not a coach, prepare to be replaced. Okay, not by another leader, but by another leader coach. Okay, so you might have a coach that's working for you that you recognize has leadership skills, and you might want to hire that individual as a leader or manager in your organization. What should probably happen is that the leaders that you have mature into a leader coach. Okay, so if you follow DevOps, if you look at the culture and lean and sharing aspects, and you recognize the three ways of DevOps, looking at work, understanding where the obstacles and constraints are, trying to get feedback, helping your organization learn fast and learn often. I hate the words fail fast and fail often. I want to learn fast. Okay. And help your organization through that. It's not rocket science. Okay. It is hard. It's not overnight. You know that as well as I do, but it's, you know, organizations are doing it, and their market share is increasing. You can go to DORA and you can see the statistics of DevOps a decade ago and today. And the organizations that are playing and learning from this. I mean, think about when you and I first started teaching DevOps and the kinds of companies that came to us. And now the kinds of companies that come to us now is just awesome.
It is, yes, and Daniel, I mean, let's say old-fashioned leaders, command and control style leaders, we probably still have many of them in our customer base. I mean, Can anyone make the shift in adopting coaching style management, or I mean, servant leader style? Or do you think some of them will not be able to? Because it's, leadership is also a personality. I mean, what is your opinion? Can you learn it, or?
You can learn it.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah. You can be coached to be a coach.
Yeah.
You can be coached to change the way that you work. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. You know, you can use the GROW model from Sir John Whitmore to help you. You can, you know, read books on how to change your language, and language sets the behaviors, and behaviors set the culture. You can have somebody that's helping you, and you know, and brings you out questions every once in a while to make you think differently.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. There was a CIO that I helped for a bank in Belgium. He had some CIOs that worked for him across the rest of Europe. Mm-hmm. One of them was in Poland, and he had learned everything that he knew from the Russians, who had just left the country 4.5 years ago.
Yeah.
So he was still very, you know, I'm going to accept every meeting request. And oh, by the way, you have to ask me to go to every meeting. Mm-hmm. And I want to read all the notes that come out. And we had to work with him.
Yeah.
Right? You have to work with him to, you know, peel back. And one day he came into the DevOps Center of Excellence office that we were setting up with him. And he said, Daniel, I've created 2 hours in my calendar.
Mm-hmm.
What should I do?
Yeah.
And I said, well, let's go for a walk. Let's go to the service desk. Mm-hmm. And he walked into the service desk, and here were all these people answering the phone. And in the corner was a guy with a bunch of security tokens for laptops, envelopes, and labels. He took a security token, he put it into an envelope, he put a label on it, and he put it into a box. When the box was full, it went to the mailroom. In Polish, which I don't speak, the CIO went over and said, what are you doing? And because he had never been seen, none of his employees actually knew what the CIO looked like.
Yeah.
Okay. The service desk analyst, before the service desk manager could stop him, goes in Polish, the stupid CIO. He has this mandate that if you work in Warsaw, you don't need a security token. But if you work outside of Warsaw, even though you're a bank employee, you have to use the security token.
Yeah.
So every day I fill 200 to 300 envelopes for people that have lost their security tokens or for new employees.
Mm-hmm.
And you just saw the CIO's neck and face get really red. And then he relaxed and he went, you know what? Stop doing that. I'm the stupid CIO that told you to do that. Stop doing that. And he looked at me and went, I actually don't know what other stupid things I've asked people to do.
Yeah.
And every day he walked around talking to people. He learned how to unlearn his behavior, and he let go.
So you helped him, you know, move around, walk around, listen, hear, be connected. But what are the things that are probably the most difficult to change for leaders? I mean, what are the things?
I think the most difficult things to change are when your peers come over to you and say your IT is terrible. And you immediately go back to command and control because you want to go and kick somebody in your IT because you've now been told that what you're doing is awful. And instead of saying, instead of saying, hold on, when you say it's terrible, what does that really mean?
Yeah.
Why are you saying that?
Yeah.
Okay. What challenges and problems are you having that I can go back then and have my guys help you?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you read the Phoenix Project, that's one of the big learnings out of it, was asking the right questions, okay? Yes, and I think that's the biggest problem for, I hated when people came over to me and went, customer satisfaction's down.
Yeah.
staff satisfaction is really way down. You have a month to fix it or you're out of here.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's not helpful.
No.
Okay. Let's figure out what's really happening here and then let's move forward.
Yeah.
And I think that's the biggest challenge, is to have the CIO or IT managers and leaders and even the other people in the organization, you know, get together and have honest discussions. And that's where a coach can help, because they can facilitate those honest discussions.
Absolutely. Yes, absolutely. So where do you think a typical DevOps coach makes most impact? Is it on the leadership level, team level, individual level? I mean, what are the differences in your opinion? Because I mean, from a DASA DevOps coaching, we train and address all the levels, but based on your experience, I mean, the impact?
The team is going to do exactly what the guys paying their bonus tells them to do.
Right.
So if you don't change that behavior, you can't change the team behavior.
Agree. Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's absolutely worthless to go work with a team when at the end of the week the leader is still command and control.
Yeah.
You have to move both. Yeah. So you have to help the leader see what is the value of effort. So Kanban boards, value stream mapping.
Yeah.
Okay. Put a bunch of post-it notes up on a wall and let's talk about those post-it notes, really.
Yeah.
Okay. Analyze the business value, understand where the technical debt is in helping them not do business value faster and better, and work with them to allow their teams to use the tools of the trade to improve the way that they work. So change from a delivery organization to an improvement and learning organization, and do it every day. Do it every day. The pandemic's a perfect example of this.
Yeah.
In February of this year, January of this year, if you'd gone over to any organization in the universe and said, do you have a business continuity plan? The answer would have been yes, and we test it once a year.
Yeah.
In March, if you'd gone over to every business in the universe and said, so, how'd that plan do for you?
Yeah.
Helping you through the pandemic?
Yeah.
You know, business continuity isn't an annual event. Business continuity is a daily occurrence of improving your work and still being continuity for your business.
Yeah.
And I think that's what a DevOps coach has to take those knowledge areas of business value and business analysis, and then work with the right people to architect them and design them. And that takes courage.
Absolutely. Yes. Yeah. So Daniel, on the final note, I think we have 5 minutes left for today's session. So maybe it's good to share a couple of your tips and tricks for leaders. And storytelling, value of storytelling is an interesting thing. Communication in general is one of the areas where I read a lot about from you. So, I mean, some tips and tricks in general. Can you share some of them based on your understanding?
I think the biggest thing is the words silent and listen have the same letters.
Yeah. It's so cool. Yeah. Yeah.
And you need to learn to be silent.
Yeah.
You know, Sherlock Holmes looked at Watson and said, Watson, you see, but you don't observe.
Yeah.
You need to be silent and you need to observe. Yeah. Sit in the service desk and listen to what's happening. Don't read the stupid reports. They've been gamed.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Help your team get rid of amber. Red, amber, green reports. You're doing it or you're not doing it. Red is a great color.
Yeah.
Red is the color that says we can improve this.
Yeah.
So if you start talking like that, okay, your people start to change as well. Okay, you have to change the way that you speak.
Yeah.
Instead of saying, get rid of red, all I want to see is green, that's nonsensical.
Yeah.
Okay, let's learn why it's something is red and what we can do to make it green. That's a completely different conversation. Yeah. You know, and loosen the grips on governance. Why are you having a cap? Because things have to be approved. Where in ITIL does it say that CABs are an approval organization?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, absolutely.
They're an advice organization. They don't approve anything.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you have to learn what it is that you're really supposed to be doing within a framework.
I really appreciate the listener and silent stuff. So also from a DASA DevOps coaching perspective, it's one of the eye openers I get back from many very experienced DevOps consultants, because when I ask them, what did you like? What do you like? They said, listen, to keep my mouth shut in front of the customer and not let my 25 plus years of experience tell them I will do this or that, but keep my mouth shut. And the outcome of that conversation, outcome for the customer in the end, is typically better. So my question to you is then, I mean, in your role, you're coaching individuals, teams, and executives. And towards the executive, how do you coach them on this topic? Because if you're not with them in the room, it's also challenging to tell them, be silent, you know, or listen, or hold your breath. You know, I mean, you typically have to be close to them. Can you give an example before we close this conversation?
You can help them do that,
mm-hmm.
because you go to a meeting with them or you work an interview with their employees.
Yeah.
And you go, okay, are you being allowed to do this?
Yeah.
What happens if this happens? Yeah. So you're asking questions. Yeah. And then you go back to the leader and you go, you told them what to do.
Yeah.
Do you know that your job description is the same as my job description? Neither of us do anything. As a coach, I am not going to create a document for you.
Yeah.
I'm not going to create a process for you. I'm not going to create a new tool for you. I'm not going to write one line of code for you. You as a manager, even if you have that experience, you have to do the same thing.
Right. Yes.
Okay. Yeah. You have to learn how to do nothing. And that's hard.
Yeah, it's hard. Yeah.
Because you want to get in there.
Yeah.
Okay, that's really hard.
But it's so important. And Daniel, and with that, I'd like to thank you for being our guest at DevOps Voices. It was a pleasure as usual. I'll talk to you soon. Wish you a great day. And thanks again for joining. And all the best to our listeners. Thanks, Daniel.
Thanks, Dimitri. And I'm looking forward to the other changes DASA is going to introduce over the rest of this year and next year.
Absolutely. And we'll be in touch on that and share the knowledge together. Bring it forward.
Okay.
Thanks a lot. Have a great day.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to DevOps Voices with Dimitri van den Broek. If you enjoyed this and don't want to miss out on more engaging DevOps conversations, subscribe to DevOps Voices in your favorite app or visit devopsagileskills.org/voices. Until next time.